This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here on a November edition of Polykill. This is episode 28.
Wow, 28.
28.
That's nutso.
We are your hosts. I am Travis. You can find me on the Twitter and the Instagram at TravPlaysGames, and you'll notice through that I'm more into the old games.
Yeah.
The old stuff.
You like the old stuff.
I do.
You do? And I'm the other dude on the podcast. I'm Jake. You can follow me on the Twitter at McAxel, rather the McAxel, and same handle on Instagram, but I rarely use Instagram. I need to get back in that.
Yeah.
But to be fair, I haven't really done social media, or SocMeed, as I call it, in a while.
SocMeed sounds delicious.
It does. It sounds like some sort of Bavarian chocolate dessert.
Yeah.
With just a tinge of tart.
But instead, it's just the weights that drag us down.
Yeah.
Social media.
Yep.
Oh, well. So, as we always do, we start off with games that are on our radar. Beep, 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 beep. Games that have come out recently or are coming out soon that we're thinking about maybe getting into.
Yeah, games that might eventually end up on the old backlog.
Yeah.
And to be fair, there's not a lot going on.
There's really not.
Like,
we complained about the summer, but man, the last few weeks has just been real, real light.
I feel like the beginning of October was strong for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then since then, and pretty much to the end of the year, it's kind of like meh.
Meh, yeah. Big old resounding meh.
Meh.
I had to dig a little bit to come up with the games that I wanted to mention.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's some that I'm interested in and one that I even picked up, but, you know, as I do.
Well, one of mine is Dishonored 2.
Right.
And that comes out November 11th. 11-11. It's kind of a Bethesda thing.
Sure is.
And Watch Dogs 2 comes out 4 days later on 11-15.
Interesting.
So both sequels.
Yeah.
A couple sequels there. Two games that I'm not, you know, terribly excited about. I'm kind of going to let them breathe.
Right.
I had played the first of both.
Correct.
And I'm just willing to kind of wait and see what people think about them.
Yeah, the more I look at Watch Dogs 2, I think the more they're getting it right.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's going to be more of an upswing in terms of quality for Watch Dogs 2 than with Dishonored 2, because Dishonored was a good game.
Yeah, it was.
Good story. I liked the world, and the mechanics were fun. Solid game. But Watch Dogs 2 obviously needed a lot of work, and it needed a lot of work in the fun department, and it needed a lot of work in the character department, and it looks like they fixed it.
Yeah.
From all indicators.
And really just not promising too much. That was another thing that they had. They'd done wrong.
It's just been kind of like, here, San Francisco, it's your playground. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's just like, that's kind of where they're leaving it. It's not like, hack everything. Like
hack
they were doing
all.
The other one.
Yeah.
Like some, you know, douche nozzle with a trench coat and a hat, you know, tilted down low. You know,
Which seemed cool in previews, but once you got a hold of the game,
it wasn't like, man,
very boring. Very boring.
Yeah.
And Dishonored 2, like you said, it was a really good game, but it kind of has some stealth elements, and I felt like that game went a little too long for me. I didn't think it was bad. It's just the stealth stuff. If I don't get it right the first couple times, I get really frustrated, and it just compounds into just dragging out.
You end up playing not stealth.
Pretty much.
That's what I do. It's like, I'm going to try to sneak through here. If I get seen, I'm not going to restart.
Yeah.
I'm just going to just fight my way out of it.
Yeah.
It's just how I play, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I feel like that's how I would do it in the moment if I was that character.
Probably. Of course.
You know, you're obviously not going to restart.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just you fight your way out of it.
It really just boils down to I'm just too lazy to go through wherever I've been.
Yeah. Fuck those.
I don't like redoing stuff.
Stealth trophies. I'm not going to bother with those.
But anyway, those are two games that... they're going to be, you know, they'll be big sellers.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Watch Dogs 2 will be one of those that people are going to wait on reviews before they buy in.
Sure.
More so than Dishonored 2, because Dishonored 2,
I think,
you know, established its lineage fairly well.
Yep. Well, what about you?
Both October, well, Watch Dogs 2, so that's a November release. And I've already said all I really need to say about it. The other one's Titanfall 2. Which came out, you know, 10/28.
Skeptical when it was announced.
Of course. Beta happened. A lot of people hated it.
Because
they changed too much from what was Titanfall 1, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't play the beta, but I heard that from personal feedback from friends that played Titanfall and played the beta. And they were like, it just didn't seem the same.
That's bad.
So, because, I mean, there wasn't anything wrong with the first Titanfall. Mm-hmm. It just needed kind of more meat on the bone, so to speak.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
So, apparently... it's fantastic. Me and my buddy James bought in the whole buy two, get one free at Target.
Yes. I missed that deal.
I
should have got in on
you
it, but
got
I missed
on.
It. I missed it.
So we both bought a copy of Titanfall and are going to share a copy of Skyrim.
Very cool.
SE. But yeah, so I'm excited to play Titanfall because apparently the campaign is nice and concise, a good story. Heard good things. And the multiplayer is apparently more of the same, just more modes, lots of customization, and better progression system. So,
sounds like a video game, man.
It sounds like right up my alley.
Cool.
So we'll see.
Awesome. Well, it's been a while since we've done an episode, believe it or not.
It's been almost
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah, it's a little outside our norm. We apologize, but
yeah, life's been weird.
It's been really weird. Well, let's recap. Let's see what happened last time.
Previously on Polykill, Jake adds a bevy of new titles to his already mountainous pile of shame, including Gears 4, Mafia 3, Battlefield 1, and Deus Ex Mankind Divided. Treff beat a whole slew of classic games including Kirby and the Crystal Shards, Castlevania Dracula X Chronicles, and some NES games. Jake prepares for his upcoming Gears 4 campaign by knocking Gears 3 off his backlog. The talk was all about sequels for the topic of this garage.
All right, so that's what happened. That's what we did.
That's what we talked about.
We did. I beat a bunch of games.
I beat one game. Added a bunch of games.
You added a metric shart ton of games to your backlog.
Yeah, four.
Speaking of adding games to our backlog,
yeah, four.
It's the whole purpose of the show. It's what we're all here for.
That's what we talk about, yeah.
What did you do?
The two that I mentioned at the top of the show, what I'm going to call Titanfall 2 and Skyrim SE, even though you did change the name of them in the document.
Yeah, let's just come clean here. So we sabotage each other's notes regularly, covertly sometimes, except today we happen to be sabotaging them at the exact same time in the Google Doc.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we have Titanfall 2, Skyrim jobs, and then I'll unveil mine when you're finished your discussion.
But. Yeah, so Titanfall 2.
Oh, it's so good. Still, it's funny already. Still it's already funny.
It. Still want to play it.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
Yeah, right. Skyrim job. I also want to play that.
Yeah.
But no, I actually have gone ahead and got started back into Skyrim because it is the SE and it does support mods on console, which is something that's pretty interesting. Yeah. I didn't think it would ever work. I didn't think they would ever make it happen. I figured it would be something that would be in perpetual beta and be like, sorry guys, we tried.
Yeah, it was one of those things when they announced it, I really didn't expect it.
Yeah.
And I was super excited to hear it.
And the quality of mods and to the extent that the mods actually affect the game are... just as good as they are on PC, aside from huge graphic overhauls and reskins. There are some graphic overhauls, but nothing that would say upscale or improve textures. It just kind of changes them. But the process is so simple. You just go to the mod screen, pick a mod, install it. Boom.
Nice.
Play. Yeah. And I probably spent 3 or 4 hours back in the world. And man, it gave me a real jolt of nostalgia. And
fresh coat of paint goes a long way, huh?
It does, and I think I've shared with you a couple of video captures and screenshots, and even just the vanilla SE is actually quite impressive in terms of visuals and what they did. And of course, it does include all the DLC, most of which I never played anyway.
Right. I played a little bit of them, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
So having all that extra content along with all the extra content for mods, graphic upgrade, and just being able to get into that world and kind of... revel being back in Skyrim and
run around.
Yeah, just go out there and run around.
Yeah, it's funny.
I'm having fun.
Unrelated to the fresh coat of paint edition that just came out. Tracy got back into playing Skyrim, which my wife, who has put in nearly 300 hours into the game, just trying to do every quest and do everything, and she reset all of her skill trees.
Ooh.
So it made the game harder for her again, and I came home, and it's completely unrelated to this release, but it's funny to me now that it feels like 2011 to me because all of my friends are playing Skyrim again. I don't really have an interest in going back. I played it a lot. I have fond memories of it. I'm good for now. It's something I might come back to.
Sure.
A few years from now, if I get a hankering, I'll go to that fresh coat of paint version.
Right. Yeah, you should. Yeah.
It'll survive time a little bit better.
It's interesting. I probably spent 97 to 100 hours, I think, in the initial release. Mm-hmm. I never beat the campaign.
Really? Yeah.
It's not uncommon, but it's something that kind of haunts me because I want to go there and figure out what happens. And one of the interesting mods is a Civil War mod, mm-hmm. which is, it's like, did you feel like the Civil War that was going on in Skyrim wasn't nearly big enough? Hmm. And this will just put like skirmishes all over the map that you'll just happen upon.
That's really neat.
Yeah, sweet. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Exciting.
Well, for me, I added one game to my backlog.
Yeah, you did.
From the Nintendo 64 era. No surprise for me.
Right.
It's a game that is on the bucket list. It's a game that people point to and say, hey.
You should play.
It's on the Nintendo 64. If you're looking for elite titles on that console, this is one you should play. And it's not one that is very well known at all.
Right.
It is called... Here, Jistical Ninja Starring Gonads.
Yeah.
which is, translates to Mystical Ninja Starring Goemon.
Right.
And a super, I don't even know if this is a fair term, but it's very Japanese-y.
Hmm.
Like, it's, I'm pretty sure it was, translated.
I think that last D is silent, but Japanese, yeah, I think it's right.
Yeah. But it's the flavor of.
No, I gotcha.
Japanesque. But, It does have, it's a lot of, it's strange in parts, but it's really, it's based in Japan.
Sure.
First and foremost.
Right.
Like you're running around in Japan and the feudal era and that kind of thing. But nice. It is really cool. I'm really enjoying it. It's really fun. I have no idea what's going on. I could not explain to you the story. I'm just now getting to learn the mechanics, but I'm having a blast. There's a lot going on. Like I was a mech fighting another mech at one point, and then I was top down, and I was in Zelda. I was doing all this other stuff. Like, there's just so much.
A lot going on.
Yeah, like a few different things happening. So there's that one. And there's also another Goemon. I think it's Goemon Adventures or something, also on the Nintendo 64.
Okay.
That's strictly a side-scroller.
Okay.
So they've taken that character and thrown him in a few different pans. And so he's, all kinds of different Goemon games, I guess, if you will.
Very cool.
This one's pretty fun, and I've played maybe a couple hours of it. I don't think it's terribly long, so maybe, 20% through it or whatever. But
okay.
A lot of fun. Added that one to the backlog.
Very nice.
So, games that we've knocked off the backlog.
None for me.
None for you?
No surprise. Literally, since the last episode aired until now, I played video games last night.
Wow.
That was it.
You're a loser.
Yeah.
Loser.
Yeah.
I beat four games. I'm such a winner.
Yes.
I beat four NES games.
You are a winner,
I'm
sir.
I'm such a winner. I'll start with Batman. Mm. That was the one I talked about last episode.
Yeah, you mentioned that it was hard as balls.
Hard as hard balls.
Yes.
It was so hard.
Harder than Chris Matthews.
Sure. Yeah. In parts. And, I mentioned, the first four levels aren't bad, but that stage five is a doozy. It took several tries, and finally beat it. Wave of euphoria. Jumping up and down.
Nice.
Took pictures of the screen, posted one on Instagram like an idiot, like I always do.
As you always do.
But it was fun. I also beat Bomberman.
Bomberman, like the original?
Yeah, well, the one on NES, the port
on
NES.
Okay, okay.
I've always liked Bomberman, but I've never beat it. I didn't even know you could beat it. I just thought it just went on.
Just escalated,
like a high score kind of game. Evidently, though, there's 50 stages. And what I found about Bomberman, because I've always liked it, but I've never really sat down and with the goal of getting terribly far.
Or tried to figure out why you liked it.
Yeah, exactly. Turns out, though, it's pretty awesome, but you the game gets a lot easier as you go.
Okay.
Yeah,
because you get more powerful.
You get more power-ups, and eventually, you can just walk through walls, and you're invincible to your own flame, and there's just no stopping you at some point.
That's
so,
fantastic.
The last 15 levels, it was a breeze, but still fun, and I might try to get some of the other iterations of it to...
Yeah.
Because I feel like the NES, artistically, it's a little bland.
And
there's probably a lot more to some of the...
I think the Super Nintendo Bomberman, wasn't there one on Super Nintendo?
There was, yeah.
I think that's the one I played, and that's the one I think I enjoyed the most.
Yeah, it's decent, and there's a TurboGrafx version that I really enjoy. I actually, because I was on the wave of Bomberman, tried out the N64, because I have Hero and just Bomberman 64.
Okay.
And they're just 3D Bomberman.
Yeah.
Like, one's kind of an adventure style, at least the one I tried. Not the same. I didn't really care for
most
it.
Most people
much.
Did not.
Didn't really care for it as much. But there's also a second Bomberman on NES, which tries to make it a little more 3D, but still with the original idea.
Okay.
Just, basically, they took it from top down to
isometric.
Sort of. But not really different in terms of mechanics. But I did beat Bomberman, so that was fun. Other one, Mickey Came Over, Buddy Mickey.
Yeah.
We played through the original Mega Man. That was one of the Mega Mans we had never tried to conquer.
Okay, yeah, you beat two, three, maybe?
We had beaten two and three, together. And had not beaten one, because there's no password system, so we didn't really want to commit to it.
Sure.
But we had all day, so we said, why not? So we sat down and beat Mega Man.
Very nice.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's of the harder one of two and three, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people agree with you on that.
Yeah, fun though. Totally ton of fun.
Very
and
nice.
And Astyanax, have you heard of that game?
No.
So the cover of it it's pretty common. I'm sure most people, if you're familiar with the NES in any way, you probably saw in some video store in your day a game that had kind of a white background, had a knight on the front, and a big green dragon behind him.
Seems like something I would see, but
if you Googled it, you'd be like, "Oh yeah, I've totally seen that." Because to me, it's like the most iconic games that no one talks about in terms of imagery. It's just a side-scrolling adventure platformer.
Okay,
nothing to write home about. There's like a couple frustrating parts, but for the most part, I think you could beat it one sitting.
Okay,
and play it. So, did beat that. So that was fun. So that was it. That was my NES rampage. You know how to do.
I know how you do.
You know how to do.
It's how you go.
It's how I do's it. It's how I go. if you want to go and do things like build an app,
yeah,
because you're so smart,
don't know where to start.
This app is sponsored by Calden Technologies LLC. Caltech specializes in building full stack web applications utilizing modern technologies like Ruby on Rails and AngularJS. If you're looking to take your business idea to market or have a software need that can support your goals, contact Calden Technologies for a free consultation. To get started on building and launching your concept, email sales@cowden.tech. That is sales@cowden.tech. And as always, we thank Calden Tech for the support.
Thank you so much, Caltech.
Yay, yay.
Yep.
All right. So the long play.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah. I haven't been playing anything long, man.
Yeah. Well, I haven't either, given the fact that I went 3 weeks and didn't play anything.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably indicative of lack of long play.
Yeah.
You know, I still have plans.
Oh, yeah. I would point to Gears for me.
Yeah.
Because that's the campaign I want to tackle next. But I had the opportunity.
Yeah. I think we want to do that. We want to co-op that jank. But we just haven't.
Yeah.
We need to get on that.
Need to.
But pretty much every time when there's, you know, opportunity to play Gears, it's like, let's get four other people and play Horde.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed that. I'm in no rush. I don't feel like there's some big spoiler that I'm going to encounter with Gears 4.
Not.
I mean, I don't think so. But you don't have anything that you would consider long play at this point?
Other than Gears, none. That's fair.
I mean, I would...
There's nothing when I'm at work that I'm thinking about playing when I get home. I usually define that as my long play. For now, it's just like I go downstairs and I'm like, huh, do I want to do this or that? And there's just a lot of things that I can tackle. A lot of side quest stuff. And
sure.
That kind of thing, but
for me, it's Mafia 3. That's one I still am thinking about.
Yeah.
Still, you know, they just released a big patch to fix a lot of the bugs that people were, you know, complaining about. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it addressed them all, but it was progress. And then they gave you your character a bunch of sweet new clothes to wear.
Yeah, I saw a video you took. It looks, it's a pretty game.
Yeah. At times it's really pretty. Other times it's like, huh. But they addressed some of that, like some of the reflections on the cars. The skybox wasn't that great. Interiors are really nice, though. But exterior wise, at times, environmentally speaking, not necessarily architecturally speaking, it was left a little to be desired.
Fair enough.
But I think they fixed a lot of that. So I'm anxious to pop back over there and see what happens.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, I love the world, love the game. I'm not going to rant about it. I think I did last time. But I think it's an important game, and I'm happy to play it.
Cool.
The other one is probably going to be Titanfall 2. Because like a 6 or 7 hour campaign and something I can probably just knock out in two sittings, hopefully.
But it's focused on multiplayer as a game,
but
right?
It is, yeah, overall. Yeah. But the campaign is apparently really good.
Cool.
So I'm anxious to hop in there and just play a military-style shooter for a bit and shoot things.
Have you played any of the multiplayer on this version
yet? Nope. I haven't even cranked it on.
Gotcha. Well, that pretty much does it for long play then.
Yeah, it's kind of underwhelming.
Yeah, a little bit. We'll fix that.
Yeah.
Games on the side for me, because it is tis the season for pigskins. I get a hankering, man. Like if it's on the TV up top, I feel like I gotta you know
put it on the TV.
I'm like a kid that, you know, when I was a kid and football would come on, I would watch like the first quarter and then run out in the yard and start throwing the football around.
Exactly.
I can't really do that now without looking silly in front of my neighbors. So right. instead, I just turn on, you know, my 360 at this point and play NCAA 14 for a little bit just to get it out of my system.
Yeah.
Then I get sucked into these seasons. I mean, sports games are good about that. Like,
right.
They're basically just, they're math.
Time sucks.
With a little bit of action. So I've played a lot of, more of that than I would like to admit the last couple weeks, honestly. You could probably even call it my long play, but I don't want to dedicate myself to it. So it's a side quest.
Nice. Very nice. Other side quest for me is going to be the Gears Horde mode.
Yeah. A little sabotage action.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Did you just now see that one?
I just now saw that one.
Yeah,
didn't know it existed. But yeah, that's probably going to be side quest. I mean, you could probably put Skyrim on there since I actually have been spending a decent amount of time back in there.
Yeah.
I don't see that changing just because I really am enjoying it. I feel like, I don't know why, but I feel like I appreciate it a little more this time around. Maybe it's like, you can tell the game is aged in terms of like some of the character models, obviously, that those weren't redone for the special edition. They were just reskinned. And you can tell it's like, man, this is Bethesda, you know, up and down Bethesda game. But at the same time, it's just the exhilaration of, you know, hearing that dragon flying around and you don't know where it is and where it's going to land. And it's just, it's a fun world to be in, and it's, I don't know, I feel like now I kind of realize how good of a world it was compared to a lot of the other gaming worlds that I've been in since then.
Considering it's been 5 years and that one's still
decent. Yeah, and it's
decent.
Still really good.
Yeah. Could see that.
Yeah. And just a side note, I got this mod for new blood textures. Mm-hmm. So now when you're fighting the dragon and you hit it, it'll bleed. And so, like, you can tell if you're hitting it and where you're hitting it.
Oh, that's neat.
So it's like, yeah, and it's creepy too because you know how they land and just kind of like do that little duck walk thing.
Yeah.
And they're just covered in blood, shooting fire at you and screaming at you. It's like, man, this is dark.
So
I like it.
That's the thing you need to take an Xbox vid of
and
share because that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
All right, so that pretty much does it for
side quest.
Our side quest.
Yeah, it's kind of pathetic.
Yeah.
We are losers right now.
Well,
but
it's
to be
been
fair,
such a long time. We wanted to do an episode, even though we haven't gotten as much gaming in as we would like.
Yeah. Now, hopefully.
You say this every time.
No, I'm just saying. Just hopefully.
Okay.
Hopefully. You know, in another month, the semester will be over for both of us.
Yeah.
We'll have evenings free to an extent.
Actually, the day after our exams finish or whatever, we should make a point to just...
Yeah, do nothing but game.
Do it. Put some time in.
Yeah. No, I agree. And then, you know, Christmas break, we both, you know, get a nice long break for that.
Yeah, I go on a run.
So hopefully, you know, I'll just tear through some stuff. Because, you know, I've got a stack of games there that I'm just looking at. They're like, man, I really, really want to finish this. Or I really want to start it and finish it. So I just don't have the time. Or I probably have the time. I just can't.
I realize Buzz talking about getting long Christmas breaks and talking about exams, we sound younger than we are.
Yeah.
We're old.
Yeah, we're old as fuck. we're not that old, but...
We just still do school stuff, man.
Yeah.
All right, so we ready for the discussion?
Do it.
Discussion. No, that was not good. In light of some current events...
Yeah, we thought we'd be a little timely.
Yeah, there is a voice actor strike currently going on in the video game world.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people that are casual probably don't care, but it's a big deal.
A very big deal. Especially now considering the, I guess the immersion level that's expected.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of publishers that, you know, the voice actors union is now refusing to work with
Absolutely.
Because of lack of renegotiation.
Yeah.
Or successful renegotiation. And, you know, in the long term, that's not. I mean, in the short term, that's not really affecting anything.
Yeah.
But long term, it could.
Yeah. And just to give some background, SAG-AFTRA, which is the Screen Actors Guild American Federation of TV and Radio Artists, which is a union that all these voice actors are a part of, the ones that are striking anyway, the union has chosen not to work with certain prominent game companies such as, not limited to, I think there are 11 total, but these are the ones that are major, which is EA, Insomniac, Activision, and Disney. Due to nearly 2 years of unsuccessful negotiations after a labor contract expired in 2014. Now, that's not exciting at all, but the strike is an effort to provide more secondary compensation. Games make a lot of money, and they feel like they're not rightfully compensated, being that they are, you know, extremely integral to how well a game does.
Yeah, an interesting thing, like, I don't know if you know the background on why maybe that point is there, but... the voice actors in the video games, they basically get a flat rate. Mm-hmm. So even if the game sells, you know, like GTA 5 did,
right,
or something like that, or anything, like a lot of the associated developers or publishers, the more the game sells, obviously they get more and more returns.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Voice actors do not
get
that.
There's no commission for that. Yeah.
So that's part of it.
Yeah. Another one is transparency in hiring practices. I think that's just something that's probably good for all business, but yeah, this is something that
it's also very broad language that they can interpret how they want.
Exactly. And on-set safety concerns, and that's something...
That's an interesting one.
It is, but, you know, and I'll bring this up here shortly, but being on some voice actor panel, not being on them, but seeing them,
right,
that's something that they stress a lot, is that there's a lot of fatigue with what they do, and people are like, you know, you're not digging coal mines or anything, but this is their livelihood.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, like a hand model wouldn't want to smash their hand in a car door.
Exactly.
You don't want to overexert your voice. So that is, that's where their onset concern, safety concerns, I think, mainly belie. So where you're, I mean, we've kind of gone over general impressions of the strike is that, you know, without being political in any way, it's probably a good thing for the voice actors to get some of these things sorted out.
Yeah.
In their favor, most likely.
And union strikes, especially in entertainment business, is, you know, nothing uncommon. And being part of a union is essential to making it.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, whether or not you agree with unionization or not, it's kind of irrelevant.
Yeah,
it's just how it works.
It's secondary. And it's not that the negotiations haven't been reached for anything other than they're just falling short of an agreement. It's not like...
Right.
Somebody saying you shouldn't be compensated and we don't care about your safety. It's just the degree to which they reach that conclusion. So, you know, that's basically the background, and that's not what we're going to be talking about. We're actually going to take a step back from that and be like, you know, let's talk a little bit about voice actors. They're kind of the unsung heroes of a lot of games.
Yeah.
Some of them are well known. Some of them are really just in there, and sometimes if you don't notice them, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like good visual effects in movies, or, you know, good sound effects in movies. If you don't notice it, that means it's doing its job well. And I think a lot of the same could be said for voice actors. You know, if you don't realize that it's a performance, then the better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when it comes to voice acting and noticing it, when was one of the first times? Because we've been alive to go through several eras of gaming. We've gone through, you know, bits to polygons. We've gone through chips to actual sound cards. When do you remember actually being like, oh, this is a voiced game?
Yeah, I was trying to kind of put that into some kind of perspective. I imagine it was probably, for me, best I can recall, like a fully voiced game, not just a voice in a game. Because when we were setting this up, we were like, you know, a fighting game announcer,
fight,
or like
fuck,
or like bad dudes on NES, like, oh my god, you know, it's just like, yeah, it's, you know, they're not saying anything, it's just noise. But actually a voiced game.
Mm-hmm.
The first one that comes to mind is Siphon Filter for the PlayStation. And there probably was one before that, which could have been Star Fox 64. Because that's the first N64 game that I remember having a voiced cast.
Yeah.
You know, there was...
Doesn't mean there's not others. It's just ones you remember.
Like Mario 64, there had some voice at the start.
Yep, yippee!
Well, just the letter that Princess Peach reads to at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
So that's there. But as far as like a full rounded out, you know...
Hey, it's a me.
Yeah, like an actual conversation that was had in a video game. I think it was probably Star Fox, but Siphon Filter had a lot because it was, you know, a spy thriller and espionage, and you know, that's probably in that vein.
Yeah,
of,
there's definitely a lot of 64 games like Perfect Dark and that kind of thing, and it's not great quality, but they're in there. Yeah,
and I actually never played Perfect Dark.
Oh,
so
it's decent. It's decent. It doesn't hold up well, the 64 version of it.
Oh no.
For me, I was thinking if we ever do an episode where we discuss like our biggest regrets in gaming,
yeah,
I'll probably bring up the fact that I played way too many sports games as a kid, not enough other games. Not that, you know, there's anything wrong with liking sports games.
But just kind of missed out on some experiences.
Yeah, I did, because those games can last forever, essentially, if you, you know, like NCAA 14 is a perfect example, shining beacon of what it can do to a man. but I remember a lot of like sports talk baseball and sports talk football games, even on the Genesis, were fairly advanced in terms of saying the players' names and
I remember
kind of thing. Or he's up to bat and so-and-so is on deck and the score is 2-3 here in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, where it's like, wow, this is actually decent quality for 1991 or whatever, 1992. So that was some of the earliest that I remember hearing a voice and being like, well, that sounds good. It's more than just beep, boop, beep, and, you know, whatever. Yeah. I was used to on the NES.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
So so then voice actors. So we're past this old school,
right?
Archaic.
Just like random people grabbing them out of the hall saying, hey, say the word.
Yeah.
Now we're to the point where it's like they're actually acting and they're bringing these characters, not to sound too cheesy, but they're bringing them to life. You know,
yeah.
It's quite literally a performance worthy of awards, I think.
Absolutely.
Know, in many cases. And I think that's something that really needs to happen.
And in general, at least in this day and age, current voice actors, there's really two very, very prominent. Now, there's several good ones.
Yeah.
But there's two guys that have extensive resumes.
Extensive, and they're just kind of like your... You know, they're kind of like, I guess, Jordan and Pippen, man. It's just like,
yeah.
you want to get the ball in their hands.
And, you know,
it's not that there aren't good players on the team.
Right.
You just want the ball in their hands.
Right. And by all indications, they're great dudes.
They
seem
awesome.
I love hearing interviews from them. And interestingly, like, I tried to think if one was better than the other. Because I was like, is this the guy or is this the guy? But their resumes stack up pretty well against each other. Like,
yeah.
You could really, if you were ticking off prominent roles for each, you would be crossing a lot off each side if you were trying to do like just to compare them.
Yeah.
It's hard to put one above the other. But let's go ahead and say who they are. We've been belabored. One of them is Troy Baker.
Yeah. Now, that's a name that people just started saying a lot in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd done work before then, obviously.
Oh, sure.
But it was just like, this guy's good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like reaching peak of his craft.
Absolutely.
And the diversity of voices that he's done is really impressive. You've got a list of them here.
I do. We can touch on some of them. Now, there's hundreds of credits for him.
Right.
Like, if you go to his Wikipedia page, your scroll wheel will you know, get worn out. But Booker DeWitt of Bioshock Infinite, which is a very interesting character. If you played Tales from the Borderlands, which we did here about over a few months ago.
Yeah.
Reese.
Yep.
I don't know why I said Reese. Joel in Last of Us, which is a game I didn't play, but I know that's big performance.
Heavy. Good stuff.
A number of Batman Arkham characters.
Tons.
We were looking at it today, actually, and he done Robin and Two-Face and
the Joker.
The Knight, Arkham Knight, the Joker. And one of my favorites, which is Pagan Min from
Far Cry 3.
Far Cry 4. Now, Voss was a great character in Far Cry 3, but... Pagan Man, man, what a creepy guy. And really, if you think about it, to me, it was the voice that did it. So it says a lot about Troy Baker's ability to be a hero or a villain, just stylistically. So pretty awesome dude.
Yeah.
So he's, we can say Jordan and Bird, if we're going to compare two greats.
Okay. I said Jordan and Pippen, but Jordan and Bird.
Sure.
Fine.
I feel like, you know, Bird's more than Pippen. Or maybe
not quite Jordan.
Kill.
Yeah. That's a tough comparison.
Anyway, both of them are great. So, do you want to introduce the other
guy? Yeah, the other one, and I feel like he's been around a bit longer in terms of at least notoriety in just doing work in general, and that's Nolan North.
Hmm.
Now, he's done a metric assload of characters. One of his most notable, at least recurring roles, is going to be... Nathan Drake from the
Absolutely.
Uncharted series.
Yeah.
And just nails it.
Yeah.
Just nails it. It's
amazing.
Those
games would be not the same without that narration, that constant banter.
Yeah.
Those games would just be basically what Tomb Raider is now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It adds so much.
Yeah. Oh, agreed. And interestingly enough, in Uncharted 4, Nolan North plays Nathan Drake and Troy Baker plays his brother Sam.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's just like, you know, it felt like destiny, you know,
yeah,
it just needed
cool.
to happen. Made me super happy. He played, Nolan North played Desmond Miles in Assassin's Creed, or Ass Creed, as you have it written here, because you hate it.
it was just my way to abbreviate it, but I do.
Ass Creed. He played the Penguin in Batman Arkham. He also has credits in Portal 2, Call of Duty games, Team Fortress 2, Destiny.
Destiny role was a bit famous.
Yeah.
Not for really the performance, but just the way he got the role.
The way it happened, yeah. It was just like, all right, Tyrion, you need to move on. We need to replace you. And also another one that Nolan North did, which a lot of people forget, is Deadpool in the Deadpool game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So oh, he voiced Deadpool and did a great job.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah. Love those two guys. And I do feel like if you say video game voice actor, more than likely, if you know anybody in that field, you probably know one of them.
Absolutely.
If not both.
That's why I wanted to list them first, because we're going to go and mention a few of our favorites, but those guys would definitely be our favorites anyway. So
yeah,
might as well go ahead and introduce them.
I mean, they're in the pile.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. Speaking of favorites, I've listed out a bunch here, and a lot of these I've listed, I'm influenced by the fact that I've been feet away from them before. And I really, you know, characters aside, I fell in love with their personalities. Yeah. They're all great. And I don't know if it's just some voice actor trait that they have, but they're extremely personable.
Magnetic people.
They really are. Because, I mean, they're actors, really. And that's the thing. Probably my favorite is Ashley Burch. And that's that also is influenced by the fact that I followed her. You know, her career on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
Almost probably since the beginning, or at least the early days. So I feel like I've seen her career kind of grow and blossom. And
yeah, for sure.
She was, of course, Tiny Tina in Borderlands.
Yep.
And Chloe in Life is Strange, which is a game that we played here this year, which is fantastic. And the performance is great.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely great. And she's just awesome in general. Another one for me is John St. John, who does Duke Nukem.
Right.
His panel's hilarious. He'll prank call your friends that aren't at the panel as Duke Nukem, which
fantastic.
Is always hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Ella McLean, who does GLaDOS, and I've talked about my love for Ella McLean.
Yes, you have.
She's beautiful voice, great woman. Her husband is John Patrick Lowry, who
oh,
has
yeah.
done a lot of work for Valve. If you can go to his credits, it's the Team Fortress 2 stuff. I believe he also has done some voice work as Sherlock Holmes in various mediums.
Very nice.
So he does some stuff. Both of them are, you hear them both talk, and they don't even feel real. Like, they're husband and wife. I'd just love to be a fly on the wall when they have discussions.
It'd be great. Get into an argument, and she's GLaDOS, and he's like,
Yeah. How does that go?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Wes Johnson, he actually usually leads those panels, and he's from the Arlington area. He does a lot of work with Bethesda.
Okay.
And Mike Rawson, who has been in, I think, every Bethesda Fallout credit extensively. They use him as a ghoul. They use him as random merchants, random NPCs.
Sweet.
He's all over those games. So those are guys that, you know, I've seen up close. I've heard them talk about their career and all that stuff. And,
nice.
They're my favorite. They're the ones that, just because I've seen them, I can pick their names out and I follow what they do now.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Well, what about you?
Well, I mean, you stole a couple of mine, so I'll just kind of touch on the ones that I at least were aware of. Ashley Burch has been huge, you know, from the videos, "Hey Ash, what you playing?" to Tiny Tina, to Chloe, to just other random stuff that she does for Rocket Jump and those kinds of things. Just really like her as an actress in general.
Awesome.
Another would be Ellen McLean. Just I love GLaDOS. Love that character. Amazing job. John DiMaggio would be another one for me, who does Marcus Fenix.
Okay.
Just one of those iconic performances.
Yeah,
that
rough.
Yeah, and considering I've played through every single Gears game this year.
Yeah.
It's just kind of fresh on my mind too.
Yeah, and that is a notch in your belt. You've ran through the series in less than a year, and that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Minus Judgment, but that's not so much important.
Yeah.
It's still a good game.
Yeah.
But
I'm not counting it at this point. Another is Dave Fennoy, and I don't know if you know this name, but he played Lee Everett in Telltale's The Walking Dead, so the lead character.
Oh, okay.
And interestingly enough, he's been on the Kind of Funny circuit a lot with Greg Miller and all those guys, and he's probably one of the early, I guess, video game celebrities that they started hanging out with in terms of like on the show a lot. He was the guy who used to do, I think he did some car insurance commercials, and then he did like Hulu commercials. And then, you know, kind of evolved into getting, this gig as Lee. And, you know, that kind of just like shot him through the roof in terms of, popularity.
If it helps to have such a role that requires real acting
that
and emotion.
Range. Yeah.
If that helps the actor just be awesome, like,
yeah, I mean, I really
would have mattered who did it. If they did a good enough job,
a
I
good
would love
character
them.
Yeah. Good character to play. I mean, that's really an actor's job, is
sure.
to find that role that gets them the notoriety and gets them more work. But Dave Fennoy, he's an awesome guy. Love hearing him talk in general, because he sounds like Lee just kind of naturally.
Nice.
So just in conversation, he's just like, he just kind of melts you. You're just like, that's great. But yeah, he does a lot of work now, so it's awesome.
Cool, cool. So those are voice actors, the actual actors that
right.
that we've enjoyed and that we follow. On the flip side, though, there are some very iconically voiced characters in games. So it doesn't always have to be that we, you know, none of the actors we're listing from here on out, it's not that they're not good and we don't like them. It's
right.
just the characters stand out more than the actor in some
yes.
regard.
Yes.
So you have a few listed here. What are some of those
yes,
great characters
some
and
of
voices?
Some of the iconic characters that are voiced, and a lot of times their voice actor kind of, for better or worse, almost get pigeonholed as these people.
Oh, yeah.
Which is good. You know, at least they're known for something, I guess.
Sure. Not the worst thing.
But Solid Snake, David Hayter voicing Solid Snake for years up yeah. until The Phantom Pain, where Kiefer Sutherland took over.
Oh, right.
But, you know, the character of Solid Snake, you know, it's if you've played any of the Metal Gear games, you know they're dialogue heavy. So you hear that voice
a lot.
Another one would be Tommy Vercetti from Grand Theft Auto 3. And famously voiced by Ray Liotta.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Or maybe I keep hearing that once every 3 years and
just forget that fact yeah.
until I hear it again.
So yeah, he you know, obviously did a lot of work in Goodfellas and
yeah.
Identity and other, you know, great movies.
Mm-hmm.
So he's also kind of like Grand Theft Auto 3 was one of the first steps into that. Here's an open world with voice characters.
Right.
So
he's
it's kind of a perfect
mobby kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. You know, he's the guy that you want for that. You know, just mm-hmm. swearing constantly. Patrick Stewart as Emperor Uriel Septim from Oblivion. Mm-hmm. You know, the first time I saw the trailer for Oblivion, the first thing you hear is Patrick Stewart's voice. And it's like, whoa.
Wow.
And, you know, if you look at the voice cast for that game, it's pretty impressive anyway. It's got him and Sean Bean and Terrence Stamp. So it's like three heavy hitters.
Yeah.
And it's crazy that they got all three of them kind of in the same game.
That is nuts.
It's crazy. But, one of the, I guess, most iconic characters that says lines, but I threw him in here because I feel like it's kind of important to have him, but Charles Marinette voicing Mario and or Luigi.
And he also does...
Yeah, he's also another character that's in some ways very different from Mario Luigi, and
yeah.
that's Parthenax.
That's about Skyrim. As far as you can get.
Yeah, and on the opposite end of the what I would consider vocal range.
Yeah, the spectrum. And
yeah.
yeah,
very impressive.
Interesting. So what are some of Mario's most intense dialogues? He doesn't talk a whole lot at once. He's not
usually
going
like
on and on.
Bursts of elation,
yeah.
like when he gets a star or
yippee!
Yeah, passes yeah. you in Mario Kart or something like that. You know, it's not much.
Yeah. He's not going on and on about
no.
shit.
No diatribes, no monologues. Man, a few words at Mario.
So those are some of the more iconic characters that have a voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we have our individual favorites, which
we do, yeah.
may not be, you know, the top of the cream.
Right. They're just the ones we like.
The ones that we like and that struck us growing up or playing games. One for me, because again, I play a lot of sports games as
yeah,
a young
you
lad. And actually the only Sega Genesis game I had for a few months, because I've got my Genesis used.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
came with NBA Jam.
Nice.
So I ended up playing a lot of NBA Jam right out of the gate there. And, you know, a lot of boom shakalaka and nail in the coffin.
He's heating up.
He's on fire. Like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Tim Kitzrow did that, and he has done voice for many announcers in many sports games.
Oh, very cool.
He also did Blitz. He was the voice
okay.
in that. And I think he actually might even do some in-stadium voice announcing, like hockey and stuff like that,
okay.
like real life stuff, like not games.
Sweet, no, that makes sense.
He's rooted in sports.
He's
announcing.
Got the chops,
absolutely. But that was always a fun one, NBA Jam.
Very cool. One for me, and also kind of a man a few words, much like Mario, mm-hmm. but there's some spoken dialogue, and the voice is very signature, and that is Master Chief.
Very soothing.
Yeah, voiced by Steve Downes. When you hear the voice, you feel confident. You feel like everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You just got that, I'm here. You know, just yeah. like, ah, okay.
Do you do a lot of some of the animated stuff as well? Has he followed Master Chief throughout everything he's been in?
I'm not sure. I didn't check into that because I honestly haven't followed that myself. I haven't really done any of the, I guess, cross-media stuff mm-hmm. with Halo. I pretty much just stuck with the games. But very, you know, the voice has been in my head for well, since the launch of the original Xbox, which was, I don't remember what year, but 15 years or so, give or take. So, yeah, one of my favorite all time, if not my favorite.
I have a couple here I'll lump together since we mentioned them already.
Okay.
One is Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
Just awesome. Just the, you know, you feel like Nolan North has you by the hand and he's taking you through this game, this experience with the constant back and forth between him and the environment and all the other characters. Super funny too, really witty.
Oh yeah.
He has good delivery.
Well written and good timing.
And you had already mentioned Star Fox 64, you know, and whenever you piss off one of your comrades and like, what's the big idea, Fox? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
A lot of, it makes the characters a little more, they come to life a little more when they actually have a voice. Even though it's just a little picture on the screen with words.
Yeah.
It's not like, I mean, especially Star Fox, the characters aren't just standing around talking to one another and doing anything.
Right. It's
they're just faces on the screen with some captions and voices, but and usually, it goes a long way.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Kind of brings you in there. next is going to be another one from Halo, and that's Cortana.
Well, that one's iconic,
and that's for sure. That's Jen Taylor, and that's one that I think is probably more connected to Bob because she speaks more a lot in the Halo games, and
I mean, obviously it carried over to a meta. It's like the Xbox,
exactly, it's the voice of the Xbox now. So I'm pretty, you know, I think I had the discussion about the ending of Halo 4 and how that hit me when I played it the first time, and all the business with Cortana. So, yeah, I'm super connected to that character and that voice. So, yeah, it's impressive what happened, I guess, with Cortana.
Yeah.
Just, you know, pretty.
Definitely transcended being not even a real, I mean, she's a character, but she's not even, she's just a thing with a
right.
voice.
She's an AI with a voice, and now she's an AI with a voice.
Yeah, true that.
It's pretty crazy.
Wheatley from Portal 2.
Such a good
one. Portal 2. Stephen Merchant, actually.
Yeah.
The funny British actor. He's on, I think he's in British Office. Does he do that?
Maybe
not that.
Not
but
not
he's,
sure.
he does, honestly, I know him more from being on Fallon because he does a lot of funny skits with Fallon every now and then. Just big goofy dude. Super lovable, but great in terms of nervousness and
agitation.
In Portal. Yeah.
Yeah, love that's a great character. One. Yeah, Wheatley's hilarious. I love Wheatley. Linda Hunt, narrator of God of War.
I have not played that series extensively. Is that something that is she there a lot?
Yeah. I mean, not constantly, you know, not like Bastion or something like that, but it does a lot of the setup, and it's been consistent over four games at this point.
Wow.
It'll be, you know, a voice will kind of set the stage of what's happening and what Kratos' motivation is and what's going on in Mount Olympus and just kind of, you know, kind of the voice of the world, and it's perfect.
Awesome.
It's really, I really like it because it's interesting because it's a woman narrator and it's such a testosterone fueled game. It's just a
bravado.
Nice
it does have a lot of sex in it.
Right? Does have a lot of the sex. A lot of violence, pulling people's eyes out and
like
heads
it's a
off
little more romantic even than Gears of War in terms of what it does.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in terms of just like rose petals and
right.
a good thrust
candles.
I mean, just in terms of like how really like even the art style and everything about that game is, I don't know. Do you get what I'm saying though?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, it's an idyllic, version of what that character.
So I just feel like having a female narrator fits that.
It does.
Better.
And her voice is, older and not gruff, but not smooth. So it feels like a very ancient voice that's telling you this story because you feel like you're kind of looking back at it. So it's a nice setup and nice dichotomy between all the violence and groping that's going on.
Yeah. You know how that is.
Yeah,
John Marston of Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, yeah.
This is an interesting story with Rob Wiedhoff, who, dude from Indiana. He just came out to L.A., won the audition, got the part, did the part. Won a lot of awards. Well, not a lot of awards, but won some awards for it. Then disappeared. Hasn't done anything since.
Yep.
Kind of just lives his own life back in Indiana. Met his wife in L.A. and just kind of doesn't want to be in the spotlight, which is, you know, that's commendable.
It is. It's crazy, too. It's like it makes John Marston indelible in a way.
it feels more like a real character because that's something John Marsden might do.
Right. And it's like, you know, spoiler alert if you haven't finished Red Dead Redemption, but it's like John Marsden is dead.
Yeah, he can't come back.
And he can't come back. And the actor who plays him isn't coming back either. So it's a really interesting reflection about how that played out.
It is. And it's a really great performance, especially for a guy that had no resume.
Yeah.
Really, what a chance Rockstar took on just taking a dude. And man, I love everything about the whole story. It's
what a great game too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So that helps.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like we were talking about before, voice actors getting good roles, kind of makes them memorable and makes them shine. Having a character in a good game also helps just in general. Cause there can be times where you've got a good character in a not such great of a game.
Yeah.
And you end up being memorable. But if you're in a Rockstar game or a Bethesda game, man, that helps so much.
It absolutely does.
Another one for me, and this one is fairly recent, more recent than most everything on here, is Camilla Luddington as the rebooted Lara Croft in the 2013 game. I thought her performance was amazing.
Is she the same person that they modeled the character of?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah. She's everything.
She's all of it.
She's the flesh and bone and voice. She's the whole kit and caboodle of Lara Croft.
She just sort of really embodied the character. And just I really thought the performance was extremely emotional and believable and tragic and scary and empowering and all the right things that you want for that kind of story. And I thought, man, it was perfect.
Honestly, one of the most memorable moments for me in all of games is when she cries over the deer.
Oh, yeah.
It's
heartbreaking.
It really is. It's really...
It's like you realize that because you're so used to when you play video games being just laying waste to everything
and not having any second thought,
no remorse.
It. Yeah.
And
like these things aren't real. They're bits and polygons.
Exactly. Yeah. And then here you go, you kill a deer so you can survive to eat.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it breaks her heart.
Yeah.
And
what a great growth they had that character have.
That's amazing.
Yeah, man. Really good.
Yeah. Great game. And great character.
I have a couple that are just narrators.
Okay.
Narrators through games. Not exactly characters, though. They are kind of...
Yeah, they're characters.
They're such big parts of the game. I'll list off one here before I let you go back again. Thomas Was Alone.
Oh, yeah. Danny Wallace, right?
Danny Wallace.
Yeah.
Yeah. He done a few other things, too. I think he's in Assassin's Creed.
Yep.
And a couple other things. But, you know, I wasn't high on that game. I think we had that conversation
right,
where it was like, at some point, there was just an excuse to make this puzzle game. Like, I didn't think the story, while fun, was basically just another way to make the game that they made less boring to me.
Sure, sure.
But the narration was great.
Spot on, yeah.
Yeah, just it actually made it worth to have the story.
Yeah.
Just to hear the way it was told.
I think another thing that helped that in a lot of people's mind was the Portal 2 had not been out terribly long, and that character sounded somewhat like Wheatley.
Oh, okay.
To me, anyway. Like, when I think about them, I have to say, okay, I wouldn't know which one's which.
Oh, okay.
So I think that may have, been part of that. Another one for me, Courtney Draper as Elizabeth in Bioshock Infinite. I can't really go into the character, I guess, a lot because it's a lot to explain. But Elizabeth from Bioshock Infinite, I really thought her performance was awesome because she was just kind of like this bewildered, confused, powerful. And it was just a nice mix of all those things. Plus, she got to play off of Troy Baker as Booker. That was a great performance.
Yeah.
In, once again, a great game.
Yeah, that helps.
That helps.
The last one for me is the narrator of Bastion.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't play... You played through that game.
I did, yeah.
I actually didn't finish it, but I got far enough to appreciate what Logan Cunningham, who's the gentleman's name who did that, had done. He doesn't have an extensive resume. All I can see is that he did work on Transistor in 2014 and Dota 2 in 2013. Those are the only two things he...
And Transistor is another super giant games who made Bastion, so that makes sense.
Yeah, but... Bring him back. I just really liked kind of the power behind it. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of energy in it.
It was one of the first narrations that I had reactive narration. Like, so like when you did something on script, you would get a narration for it. And then when you did something off script, like I remember I got that hammer, like one of the big hammers It's like, the kid found a hammer. And it was like, cool. And then I just started beating everything. And it was like, the kid just raged for a while. Like, sweet, he knows what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that was a really cool mechanic of having the narrator kind of tell the story as well as not only the narrative, but what was actually happening at the moment.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah. Really liked it.
It's kind of like just probably some smoke and mirrors, but fourth wall breaking in the sense that you actually feel like the narrator is watching you play.
Yeah.
He's not telling the story. He's actually watching you do the story. It was kind of a weird take on it. But yeah, I really liked that dude. I'd like to hear him in some more stuff, honestly.
Agreed, yeah. Yeah, I'd like to. He should do audiobooks. I would listen to him read books a lot.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. The kid just read for a while.
Kid's about to go to bed. He's getting sleepy.
He's turning off his Kindle. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Last one for me, and this was one that it may have been, I guess maybe one of the first characters that I knew the actor behind.
Hmm.
And that is Sam Fisher from the Splinter Cell series, voiced by Michael Ironside.
Yep.
Of course, Michael Ironside is not any disrespect, but an actual actor. Like, he's been in film and in TV and a lot.
Right.
So he had
physical form acting.
A lot of other credits aside from video games, and kind of stepped into the world. And Sam Fisher's that gruff, agitated, not really all that likable kind of guy. And Michael Ironside just had that kind of cold brutality that's required, but still without being a total ass, you know.
Speaking of Michael Ironside, did you ever see a Turbo Kid?
That's on Netflix. No.
He's in that movie. He's probably the most famous actor in that movie. And to the point that when I watched that movie, I was like, man, is Michael Ironside falling on hard times?
Oh, yeah. Kind of when you watch Mortal Kombat Annihilation and...
That guy's in there. Yeah. I can't remember that guy's name. But kind of like that Raiden, whatever Raiden was.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like that. But Turbo Kid actually ended up being what I thought was a cool movie, but it's definitely lower budget.
Right.
So I don't think Michael Ironside made a lot of money on it, but maybe he read the script and thought it was neat or something.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe he knew somebody or somebody called in a favor or something.
But he's been in a lot of sci-fi kind of mind trip movies in the past.
Yep.
Total Recall and Starship Troopers and stuff like that.
So. Yeah. And I think he was in The Next Karate Kid. I think he was in that.
No, you can't win them all.
You can't. I mean, come on. It was the 80s. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
But yeah, he took a break from Sam Fisher, but he's coming back.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's right. People were a little uptight about him not being Sam Fisher last
year. It was interesting, too, because, I felt like for a while there were two stealth game franchises that kind of ruled that genre. One was Splinter Cell, the other was Metal Gear.
Mm-hmm.
And then, at a certain point, they both broke with their main actors. So it makes me wonder, now that Metal Gear is kind of off of Kojima's plate, and are they going to bring Hader back, or was Hader tied to Kojima, and was he pissed that he was pissed that he lost his job? I do know that he wasn't a fan of not being Solid Snake
Big Boss. We think that they're even going to bring it back?
They're bringing back a version of it. I can't remember what it's called, but it's
Konami's kind of
Metal Gear. It's basically some zombie spinoff. It's come on,
Konami.
Yeah, but. That's probably the best they could do in the time, and best you can do without Kojima.
Yeah.
San. But yeah, so those are fun. I really like, getting to know those characters, and I spent a lot of time with a lot of these characters.
If it makes you feel like you know the voice actor a little bit.
Then you watch the YouTube videos of them doing the acting or the panel interviews. Yeah. Or it's like, man.
That's some of the fun stuff about the panels, and that they know you want them to do their voices.
Right.
So they hold back from doing it until little moments, and then everybody squeals.
That's so awesome.
Excitement. It doesn't matter what they say either.
Yeah.
You just be like, hand me an apple, and everyone's like, oh my God, he said that like that.
He said it like that, man.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to recap, there's a strike. There's a lot of good voice actors out there. No matter what you think about strikes and unions, hopefully they get it sorted out so we can get good quality voice acting.
Continue. Because that's a big thing now, and I feel like... especially a lot of the bigger publishers, they're kind of not relying on acting talent, but they're kind of doing some of that. Call of Duty, especially, they're like, hey, let's get Kevin Spacey in here.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Here's Kiefer Sutherland. Here's Kit Harington. Here's Conor McGregor, in one of their games. So it's like they're really heavy on getting those, that name recognition. And even though a lot of times up until now, video game voice actors haven't had that name recognition, I think we're at the point where they're starting to do that.
Yeah.
Like Troy Baker, like Nolan North, Dave Fanoy. Those are names that you hear now if you follow the industry at all.
More than just a casual gamer. Now, I completely understand, you know, people that just kind of play games here and there, and they don't get as invested into the, you know, the news cycles we do. They probably have no idea. Maybe that's okay. I mean, I don't know who drew my favorite cartoons as a kid. I don't know who, you know, I don't know a lot of that stuff.
I know Mel Blanc voiced mine.
There you go.
That's all I know.
But, you know, they are important. I think they do deserve a little bit more recognition than they get. So that's why we're talking about them.
Absolutely.
All right. Does that do it?
I think it does it.
All right, man. Well, that was episode 28.
28.
Of the Polykill podcast. Just remember, you can follow us on Twitter as a unit at Polykill. That'll get you to the Polykill podcast Twitter account.
Yeah, it will.
Did I say YouTube at first?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I meant Twitter.
I think you said Twitter.
Okay, follow us on Twitter at Polykill. You can follow us individually. I'm at Trav Plays Games, and he is at the McAxel. We're the same on Instagram. We have a Facebook page. You can go there and like it. It'd be great.
Yeah, do that.
Facebook.com/Polykill podcast. Subscribe on YouTube. Do that.
Please.
Yeah, we post the old podcast there after we film it, and then we do have some plans to get back into making videos.
It'll happen.
I swear we do.
Yeah.
Rate us on iTunes. That's the belly rub that we love and deserve.
Love and deserve.
Go to polykill.com. We got some blogs there. We got you know, that's where we put the videos there too.
Links to the podcast,
links
audio
to all
files.
The podcast.
Yep.
Especially the collect call stuff. That's the only place you'll find pictures of stuff people sent me. A lot of the stuff that they sent me was exclusive, so if you know these people that were interviewed, you won't find those pictures anywhere but on our website.
Absolutely.
And if you'd like to sponsor the show, you can reach out to us, or if you just want to drop a line, polykillpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and then some of you have recently. Some of you reached out, and
it's been great.
Yeah.
And we're sorry we haven't put out more episodes here recently, but we're
going to get back in our stride soon, and and maybe even make additional content.
That's going to happen. We're not saying what it is.
Yeah. But something's on the horizon.
Something's coming.
A little something.
When we get off here, we'll talk about what that might be.
Yeah, boy.
All right. So thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you at episode 29.
Peace out.